I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians 6. I would like to read verses 11 to 13. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you this evening, Lord, bless for Christ's sake the word to our hearts. Thank you this evening as we call upon you that we can be assured according to your word, Lord, that you're here. May the preaching and the hearing of the word be to your honor. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to relate what happened. But in 1 Samuel, an account of a battle that took place between two men, one named David, one named Goliath. The army of Israel was being defied by this Philistine, Goliath. And this man challenged Israel. He said, if you have any man that'll fight me, he said, we're just the two of us, do battle. And whoever wins, he said, the victor, he said, will go to have this victory that the other army will serve the army that he represents. Well, there was no one that stepped forward out of the army of Israel. Until a young man named David accepted the challenge. And David said to the king of Israel, Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail him. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That's 1 Samuel 17:32. David said, I'll fight him. Well, King Saul, in 17:38 and 39, armed or clothed David with Saul's armor. And the scripture says he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. And he assayed, that is, David agreed at first to wear the armor. But he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. The armor that David was trying to wear, David hadn't tried the armor. It was Saul's armor. But it wasn't tested. It wasn't proven by David. And really, the armor would just be nothing more than a hindrance to him. Well, Scripture says that David took his staff in his hand and he chose out five smooth stones out of the brick. a book, I'm sorry, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and his sling in his hand, and he went out to meet the Philistine. Now, just get this in your mind. He's out there in this big plain. You got two armies looking at each other. And here's Goliath, and he walks out there in the forefront of the Philistines, and he's waiting on David. David's talking to Saul, and Saul's trying to give him some armor. He's going to go out there and fight this guy. And David said, I can't do this. This armor, not for me. Now, this is who he's going to fight. Goliath. And 1 Samuel 17, 4-7 gives a direct and very intricate account of how big Goliath was and what he was wearing. He stood 6 cubits and a span tall. He was 11 feet 4 inches. 11 feet 4 inches. He had a helmet of brass armed with a coat of mail, and it gave the weight. I'm just computing it to pounds and stuff. He had a coat of mail that was on him 156 pounds and had leg harnesses or boots and a corset of brass between his shoulders to protect the neck. His spear was like a weaver's beam, 26 feet long was his spear. And the spear's head weighed about 18 pounds. This was a big guy. And he had a lot of stuff, and he was just very intimidating. Can you imagine, over 11 feet tall, and the two met on the field of battle. And this Philistine, the scripture says, cursed David by his gods. You know, obviously, Goliath told David that by the power of the gods of the Philistines, that David's flesh that day was going to be given to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. That's what he told him. He said, you're going to pay dear for coming out here and facing me. And David said to Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This was more than a physical battle. This was a spiritual battle. This was more. There was more going on here than just two guys standing out there between these two armies. There was a spiritual war going on right here, and David knew it. He said, you got all your stuff, and you're a big guy. I understand that. But he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm coming to you in the name of God Almighty. You've got all your regalia on you. Saul tried to give me his stuff, but it wasn't going to do. Hadn't been proven for me. He had a sling and 5 smooth stones, and the whole armor of God was David's provision. The whole armor of God. This is what David told him. This day. Now, I'm going to tell you, you talk about faith. Now, here's a man that he believed God. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven, and that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I wonder what that Philistine thought when this little fella came to him with nothing on, but his just shepherd's clothing and a sling, a little sling. This guy's got a helmet, and he's got this mail, and he's got this corset, he's got this shield, he's got this spear. And the scripture says that Goliath drew near to meet David. And David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And while he was running, David put his hand in the shepherd's bag, drew out a stone, put it in the sling, and dropped him right where he stood. Scripture says the rock just sunk right into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth, and David ran over and took his own sword and cut his head off. And when the men of Israel and Judah saw it, they pursued the Philistines back all the way to their own cities. Now that battle took place hundreds of years ago. And it was absolutely recorded for God's glory and for our admonition. There was a battle that was going on. It was physical. There's no doubt about it. It was a physical battle. That giant was really standing there. That army was really standing there. And David was too. I mean, it was physical. But there was a spiritual war going on. And David believed God. There was David, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ who fought the battle for the redemption of God's people by Himself. That was the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 63:3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. There was one warrior out there for Israel. David. And David represented all the nation that was standing out there behind him. David was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as David was victorious over Goliath, our heavenly David, the Lord Jesus Christ, has ever prevailed to save all that the Father has entrusted into His hand. He is, the Lord Jesus is, our mighty David. Isaiah 42:4 says, He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He has set judgment in the earth. That is, until He has revealed and set forth God's judgment. What do you mean God's judgment? He said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to fail till He has set judgment in the earth. But brethren, like David, who was a beautiful picture of Christ first, I'll tell you this, we have a battle too. And there's a battle that's going on, and it's a spiritual battle. There's a war that is raging, not only within every believer, but without the believers. Within, the Apostle Paul said this, Romans 7:23. He said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There's two men. You know this. There's two men in every believer. And these two men are contrary, one to the other. As an old man, with which every one of us born, and is still there. You know, somehow we get this mindset. I mean, I do it. I do it too. Somehow we get this mindset that, you know, after we're converted, we just, you know, we think differently, and we do. By that new man, But that old man, and a believer knows this, that old man is there. And that same wicked, rebellious Goliath wars against the law of our new man, our mind, our new mind, that new heart. There's a battle. We think just as disrespectfully as we ever did. The problem was, is that before we never knew it. I think back. I mean, in my mind, I'll tell you where I went back to just then, just a minute ago. I went back when I was in college. And I don't know, maybe when I was in college, that was just the epitome of my memory of just rebellion. I mean, I was a rebel. Look, Mom. I mean, I was. I still am. There's no difference in me right now in my old man than it was before. I'm just more aware of it. I see it. And I say to myself, oh, wretched man that I am, there's a battle that's going on. A spiritual battle. And the battle that we're fighting, every believer is fighting right now, is fought with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our foe, who we're fighting? Well, let me tell you this. The foes that we're fighting are not visible to the carnal eye. We think they are. We think we can see Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, I know, I'm convinced, I know this is true. Where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, the Lord has said, I'm there. I know the Lord is here. I can show you a scripture where it says the sons of God assembled themselves before the Lord and Satan was there too. I can tell you this. Not only is the Lord in this place, but there's spiritual wickedness in high places here too. And if you think there's not, you're just fooled. Because that's where the battle is going on. And there's an insinuation given to every believer right now by these spiritual wickedness and this, you know, these powers and rulers of the darkness coming and insinuating to you right now. And don't you remember what happened today at work? You know you don't feel good. Aren't you tired? Don't you feel bad right now? You know, there's a battle that is raging right now, and the problem is that often we don't think about it. We just don't remember. There's a fight that's going on right now. And it's called the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now I want us to just, for a few minutes, I want us to just consider these three scriptures that I read right here. Verse 11. Put on the whole, complete, put on all the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because of what I just read. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We live in an evil world. It's an evil. It's evil. Evil. It was surrounded not only by evil men who know not the Lord, but by these powers and rulers of the darkness and principalities. Like I said, they're here. There's a real battle that's going on right now. And here's the danger. It's the nature of the enemy. They're not flesh and blood. You know, we feel as though that we're inside this building and secure and together and protected, and we are. Because we don't see someone from the outside in our midst that we can look at right now and see with our physical eyes someone that's trying to harm us or, you know, hurt us or do something. You don't see it. So you say, well, there's nothing here that would influence me. There is a battle that's going on. The enemy that a believer faces cannot be withstood in the power of the flesh. We cannot do it. We don't have the ability. We like I said last week, we often think that this battle is fought against somebody else. Somebody that we can see. You think that the problem is that person at work. You think it's just your family member. You know, your neighbor or something like that. They are, as I said last week, they're the means that principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness use as mouthpieces. Unconverted, they're unrestrained. There's no grace in them to restrain them. You're looking at them, you think, that's the problem. That's not the problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And there's a while right there. Satan will say, yeah, you do. Yeah, they're the problem. Liar. Those that wrestle against our minds, against our heart, and speak to us. And let me tell you something. They're good at their trade. Satan, these principalities, they've had thousands of years perfecting their trade. Satan is able to suggest to the mind things that are referred to as wiles. Trickery, deceit. Now, I'm not saying that a believer can be possessed or something. I'm talking about just suggestions. And you, believe me, if the Scripture didn't set forth that this was so, I wouldn't know this. You wouldn't either. But this is what's going on. We are wrestling against these powers. And so the Lord's telling us that there's a battle that's actually going on. You know, these wiles, and I'm going back to the garden here, when Satan came to Eve. I only found, I'm not saying it's all, but I can only find three places where Satan spoke. Three. One of them's to Eve. One of them's to the Lord Jesus Christ in the desert of temptation. And one of them when Satan was talking to God concerning Job. That's the only time I can find. And if there may be more, but that's all I can find. But Satan, the Scripture says, came to Eve, and this is what he said. Now listen to what he said. Yea, hath God said. Now you know what he was doing. He was questioning God's word. He was insinuating to her that God lied. Has God said? Has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Are you telling me that the Lord who puts you in this garden is going to withhold something that would be for your good? You mean there's something that God's not going to do for you? He was telling God, Almighty God does not have your absolute best at heart. That's wiles. That's trickery. Deceit. To a believer, now you listen, and I'm telling you, you know, you that know him, you know this so. To a believer, these wiles are often stated to the mind. I mean, it's just, you just think them. There it was. I just thought it. The scripture says that there's a battle that's going on. Recognize it. To a believer, these wiles often call into question God's promises. Now listen to this. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now listen, here's what he's saying. Let the attitude of your walk be without coveting that which doesn't belong to you. And be content with such things as you have. What he's saying is, the Lord has given you that which you have according to His good will. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Doesn't Scripture say that? For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever wondered or doubted His faithfulness? Now before you say, I have never doubted, be careful. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever gone through something for a while and just, I'm talking about maybe just kneel for a fleeting moment. I mean, you know, just a fleeting moment. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, how disrespectful was that thought. How disrespectful. But you thought it. Wiles. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Have you ever found yourself questioning God's providence for you? Trickery. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. Have you ever felt alone? Where is the Lord? Lord, I cry unto you, and it's heavens are brass to me. But He said, I will never leave you. To a believer, you that believe, He has never left you. He's never left you. Never. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. I'm talking about good and bad. I'm talking about those that are pleasant and those that are unpleasant. All things work together. When I question His Word, spiritual wickedness in high places is trying to deceive me. Did God say, you're not going to die. You'll be like God. Oh, but listen to this. Not only Satan does not know who's God, who are the Lord's. Satan does not know who are the Lord's. He doesn't know who the elect are. But I will tell you this. Don't think for one second that he doesn't know that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's been declared for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You think Satan is not a master at Scripture? The Scripture says his preachers, they come as angels of light, preaching, quoting Scripture. Satan quoted Scripture to the Lord. Jump off. He said he's not going to let you hurt your foot. You're not going to bruise yourself. Jump off. Jump off this pinnacle. Do I ever find myself doubting whenever the Word is preached? Now, those that believe not, until the Lord gives a man or woman a heart to believe. They don't believe. You know that. They don't have faith. All men have not faith. Satan doesn't know who belongs to the Lord. He doesn't know who the sheep are. But he does know that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God and salvation. He knows that. So what happens whenever the gospel is preached? Well, the Lord gave a parable concerning this about a sower. A sower went forth to sow. And he cast the seed. Some of it fell by the wayside, by the stony ground, thorny ground. Some of it fell on good ground. But concerning that seed that fell on the wayside, what does Scripture say? He said, they cast the seed and the birds come and peck it up real fast and get rid of it. What happens? Then the Lord explained it to his disciples. He says, Satan comes and snatches it out of their mind. That unbeliever, listen, an unbeliever, until Almighty God opens his heart and his mind to gives him a heart the truth, gives him faith to believe. He hears the message of man's absolute total depravity. Satan's trying to, unless God gives that man a heart and ears to hear, eyes to see, he hears that and he says, totally depraved. Are you telling me that I don't have a free will? Is that what you're saying? Oh, my friend, no, sir. I don't believe that. Are you telling me that God elected and chose a certain people from before the foundation of the world that He was going to show mercy and compassion to, and only them? Is that what you're saying to me? Oh, no. Well, the God that I serve loves everybody. Particular redemption, you're telling me that Christ only died for a certain group of people? These that you're referring to as the elect? That you're telling me that God selected the ones that Christ was going to die for? And are you telling me that the rest of the world, that Christ didn't die for all the rest of the world? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Oh, I don't believe that foolishness. Why? Are you telling me that concerning this issue of irresistible grace, you're telling me that I'm born with a dead heart, that I have no ability to be able to believe God? Is that what you're saying? And I know good and well I do, but you're telling me that I have no ability to believe God, that God chose a certain people and Christ died for only those people, and that the Spirit of God, under the preaching of this gospel, then are you telling me that this is the only message that the Spirit of God is going to bless to the salvation of God's elect? You mean to tell me that everybody else is not preaching what you're preaching? You're telling me that they're all deceived? That everybody but this group and others like you, you're telling me that all the rest of the world is deceived? That you're the only ones? Yeah. I don't believe that. And that it's going to take God Almighty to keep me. You're telling me that I don't have the ability to love the Lord and to be faithful and to walk? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. The Scripture declares that this is a spiritual war that's going on. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you, and this is only going to be for God's people because an unbeliever is not going to do it. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. Now I don't plan to, Lord willing, I'll go into verse 14 in those actual implements of those, but I'm going to stop with verse 13, but I'm going to say this about 13. The Apostle Paul had by divine revelation an experience. He experienced. Now listen, you that believe, you've experienced. You know what I'm talking about. You know something of this spiritual battle that's going on. You know that there's a war. You feel it inside. A person that tells me I've never doubted my salvation, I've never doubted the Lord's presence, I'd say, well, the Scripture said that you will. The Apostle Paul had learned some things, and he's teaching under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He's teaching the people of God their need of protection. Now there's a war going on, and what we need is the whole armor of God. Now this is not armor of flesh and blood. And let me tell you this, it's not within our power to put it on. We don't have the ability. The Lord provides it. The Lord provides it. Take unto you, let me tell you how you're going to take unto us, by faith. By faith. We believe God. Now let me tell you, and Lord willing, next week I'll go into it. Let me tell you what the armor is. It is the Lord Jesus Himself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The armor is nothing less than Christ Jesus. He alone is our complete protection. In Christ alone, we're able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. We believe God. We rest in Him. Without me, He said, you can do nothing. By faith, that helmet of salvation, that shield of the Spirit, that shield that is not our faith, but it's the faith of Jesus Christ. The sword, what is the sword? It's the Word of Christ. I said I wasn't going into this. Satan is cunning. Satan is cunning. He's too crafty. He's too deceitful for us to handle. Christ is our conqueror. Christ is the Lord. Christ is our armor. Christ is our protection. He is the whole armor of God. In the Lord Himself, we shall never fail because He never fails. Let me tell you this. Satan is going to have to get through him to get to us. Now, he'll insinuate to our mind, but the Lord has given us armor. I tell you, you've been in the military, you know it's something about this. We need some protection. We need, there's a battle that's going on. And we have the best. We have the best. I know this. I've heard some different preachers said, I've seen the end of the book. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, gave Himself for us. You know, we're going to look at those elements of armor, the helmet and the shield and the breastplate and the shoes, the gospel, the sword. But I'm telling you, every one of them is Christ. It's Christ. By faith, we rest in Him. Lord, have mercy upon us for Christ's sake.